here's a story from The World.
Yesterday, after Derek Chauvin was found guilty in the murder of George Floyd, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, the lead prosecutor in this case, spoke in front of reporters. He praised the work of his colleagues and the community, but also added this.
I would not call today's verdict justice, however, because justice implies true restoration. But it is accountability, which is the first step towards justice.
This case has raised many questions about race, policing, and justice for black people in the U.S. Questions that our next guest has been following closely. Peter Herbert is a retired judge who served on London's Metropolitan Police Authority. He's also part of an independent international commission of experts studying police brutality in the U.S. He joins us from Zanzibar, Tanzania. Judge Herbert, I'd like to start with that distinction Keith Ellison made a second ago. You're a retired judge. Is this verdict justice, in your opinion? How are you seeing this?
Well, it's justice in as far as the system is concerned. But in terms of restoration of life, then obviously no. Nothing will bring back the memory of George Floyd or his life for the family. And that's, in a sense, the greatest sadness, is that this is after somebody has tragically been murdered. And this is the best that the system can do. To that extent, it is a system justice, the legal system justice, but for the family, no. And for many thousands and millions of people around the world who saw that killing, the inhumanity and the cruelty that was on display will not be forgotten anytime soon.
You live in the UK and in Kenya, but you're joining us today from Tanzania. Were people watching this verdict or any of the trial and reacting to the verdict where you are?
The Pan-African media have highlighted the fact that there was a young girl, a 16-year-old teenage girl, shot in Ohio the day before. And so, in a sense, sadly, whilst we are relieved that the killer of George Floyd has been convicted, we know that this has not solved America's problem with guns and police violence by any means. And in a sense, this is the exception to the rule. The rule is normally that white police officers are acquitted or never charged with killing people of African origin. That is the sad reality that is likely to continue for some time.
Well, to that point, I mean, George Floyd was one of many black people who have been victims of police violence in the U.S. How pivotal is this case, do you think?
Well, it depends upon what the Biden administration in particular does, and Congress does, and the Senate does with these police reforms. If they drive them through and they increase police accountability in the U.S., then it may have some effect. But I think, viewed as an outsider, one of the pivotal things, and I've spent a day training with Georgia FBI, and one of the things that struck me on their video game simulations is the expectation that people will be armed. And I think unless policing changes its culture and deals with a society where the carrying of firearms is not routine, then you will continue to see a racial profiling, which makes an appalling connection between the white police officer's idea or perception of danger and risk to life being always African-American or Hispanic and the prevalence of guns in your society. I think that is an enduring problem that must be dealt with.
Can guilty verdicts like this change police culture? And as it changes, are you concerned about possible retaliation from police?
I'm not sure it will change police culture unless it's driven through accountability and the knowledge that people cannot act with impunity. Obviously, body-worn cameras is one tool in the box. The other is the fact that you do not engage people with tasers at the first sign of any resistance and firearms. It is the training and the culture that is so appallingly out of control. And from an African-American point of view, I mean, I've been stopped by the police in Los Angeles driving, and you're actually, even as a foreigner, as a person of color, you're scared for your personal safety. And that is something I have felt nowhere in Europe, even driving in some of the parts of East Africa where, you know, the police do not have a fine reputation for nonviolence. They do not generally act in the way that police in the U.S. do.
Tied into that, what about the part of the trial that surprised a lot of people, where Police Chief Madaria Arredondo testified against Chauvin? Do you think this could lead to more police chiefs willing to testify against problem officers?
Well, I think it has to. I mean, one of the failings of the American system is the fact that there's a wall of silence and tolerance and condoning by senior officers, fellow officers, senior officers, And this gives a signal to the community, this is okay. This is a bad apple. No, it's not. One of the things I took issue with the police chief was he said that the US police are the finest in the world. And that's clearly a nonsense. The police in Russia shoot less people. In Turkey have frequently shot less people. And so countries with a very dubious human rights record have a far better human rights record when it comes to policing. And that cannot be right.
Last time we spoke, you also mentioned concerns about police departments in Europe closing ranks, about a veil of silence. That's what you said. Does this verdict influence that?
I think it can. You have to put penalties in place for officers who simply maintain a right of silence, officers in a sense who refuse to give statements. And one of the things they've used in the UK, which initially went down badly, was the fact that the right of silence should not be absolute. Juries could be asked to draw an inference of guilt and culpability if there is no good explanation given where one is reasonably expected, so that there may be circumstances where you actually change the burden of proof and make it easier to convict police officers. One of the things we have in the UK, we have something called majority verdicts. You don't need to have a unanimous verdict to have a conviction. Now, some would say that that poses a danger for civil liberties, but we haven't found it. It's very, very many cases where, in a sense, you would be impossible to get a unanimous verdict against police misconduct and extrajudicial killings, where a majority verdict is actually very, very safe nonetheless, but would render systemic justice more likely when wrongdoing comes to light.
Peter Herbert is a former judge who served on London's Metropolitan Police Authority. He's also part of an independent international commission of experts studying police brutality in the U.S. Peter Herbert, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you very much.